Our scripture reading today comes from Acts chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 21 and then go on to verse 40 and 41. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were staying. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And now reading verse 40 and 41. The Apostle Peter, with many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends in Christ, today is Pentecost Sunday. And I don't know if you think of it this way, but this is the birthday of the church. See, what the church is that body, that assembly of people who are filled with the Spirit and proclaim the message that was given through the Spirit to the apostles. So we say we're an apostolic church. We're based on the teaching of the apostles, and it is on this day that the Spirit was given, and it was on this day that the apostles began to preach that we might believe and also become filled with the Spirit, that we might be the church together, the church of Jesus Christ. On this beautiful day, we see miracles. don't know, maybe you haven't thought about Pentecost being a miracle day, but it truly is. And in my study of this passage and reflection upon this day, I see three distinct and wonderful miracles. Three miracles that are accessible to you as well. Now, the first miracle that we see is that God made himself visible, tangible to the people of the earth. That the fire came down from heaven, and that fire separated and came to rest on the head of each one who received the Spirit, who was a believer, and that Spirit, which they could see, came to be the fire that would indeed set the world on fire. This fire was a fire of blessing. It was the fire of empowerment. But it wasn't the first time in Scripture that God revealed himself through fire. If you remember back to the story that's found in Exodus chapter 3, Moses, a man who had been raised as the prince of Egypt, rediscovered his Israelite identity, and because of that, killed an Egyptian and had to flee, spent time in the wilderness. He was a shepherd for 40 years in Midian. And Moses was out with his sheep, doing his job, minding his own business, expecting that he would continue to the end of his days as a shepherd in Midian. And he saw an amazing thing. He saw a bush that was on fire. That was a strange sight. But there was something even more strange about it, because when he went and he looked, he saw that even though this bush was on fire, it was not being consumed. It wasn't being burned up. It wasn't being destroyed by the fire. It coexisted with the fire. And that fire was the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Moses and said, "Moses, I have a calling for you. I will equip you. And you will be my servant to cause my people to be set free." That fire that did not consume the bush, was the fire that encouraged, equipped, and gave a great calling to Moses. That wasn't the only time that God revealed himself in fire. In the days and the years that followed, Moses went to Egypt, said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go, says the Lord." And eventually, through signs and wonders, the children of Israel were set free, and they crossed the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness. And they were led by a pillar of smoke, which guided them. But when it came to be night, and they had to stop to rest, that pillar became a pillar of fire. A pillar of fire which showed that God's presence was still among them, that he did not abandon them in the darkness. And through the light of the fire of God, they could see and take comfort in the goodness and reality of their God. So that fire was a comforting fire, a blessing fire. God has revealed himself in fire that doesn't hurt us, a fire that blesses us. That fire on that first Pentecost came to be seen in the tongues of fire that rested on the heads. And I say to you now that the tongues of fire that the Lord has given burn within our hearts. not to consume us, but to bless and encourage, equip, motivate, and comfort us with the salvation that is in Christ. So that's the first miracle, that God let himself be seen and known. The second miracle is what happened when those disciples received the sign of the fire of God. They began to speak. They spoke the message of the gospel, proclaiming the victory of Christ, proclaiming the kingdom of God that is all around us now and that we can become part of by entering into the community, into a relationship with God in Christ. And in every language of everyone there, that message was spoken by those disciples in languages that they did not know, but God equipped that they might speak so that no one would know. I thought this was really not only a miracle, but an astounding sign of grace. Because they were in Jerusalem, could it not be assumed that if you're there, that you probably at least understand Hebrew or Aramaic? Or living in that time when Greek was the language of worldwide commerce and trade. Everybody could speak Greek because of Alexander the Great's conquest. Greek became the language of the entire world. If they had spoken Greek, could not everyone have understood? Well, maybe they could have understood, but there is something about a heart language. The language that you were raised in, that you speak in your home, that you think in your head, is one that resides deep in your heart. And that message, by the grace of God, was spoken to them in that language of their heart. And it was a miracle. Lovely. I wonder, if you noticed in the text that after they all were done talking, proclaiming the victory of Christ, the resurrection and the glory of the Lord, that then Peter stood up and Peter gave a sermon. And a lot of his sermon we kind of skipped over. I didn't read his entire sermon. But then Peter stood up and he continued to preach to them with one voice. The text isn't explicit about this, but I can't help but wonder if there wasn't a companion miracle to this. If all those people from Pergamum and all these different places, I wonder if they didn't hear Peter speaking in their language. That the first part was a miracle of speaking, and the second was a miracle of hearing. But whatever it was, there was miracle of speech, and a miracle of people hearing the truth. In this broken world, truth is hard to find. But that leads us to that third miracle, and that's what we find in verse 41. That's why I asked that we not only read verses 1 through 21, but that we also go to those verses, because verse 41 says this. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus Christ. 3,000 people said, not only do I hear and understand what is being said, I accept it as truth. And I claim that truth for myself, and I now wish to be numbered among those who say Jesus is Lord. And it is only a miracle of God's grace that allows people to say that. So there was a miracle of seeing, the tongues of fire. There was the miracle of hearing the gospel in their language, and there was the miracle of receiving and accepting that word and that truth. Those three miracles are here for you too. If you can see with the eyes of your heart the flame of fire that he is putting within you, if your heart is strangely warmed by the call of Jesus Christ, then you can see that fire. If you can understand what I'm talking about and can get the facts of this, that Jesus came, that he died, that he rose, that he ascended, the Spirit came, we are pulled together in community that we might be the proclaimers and be the body of Christ in the world. If you can get that, that's a miracle. And if you can say with me, this is true, this is real, and I want to be called one of Jesus' people, then the third miracle is happening in you. This is a beautiful Pentecost day. And I pray that it is all the more beautiful because it's a day when the three miracles of Pentecost are experienced by you. So that you give glory to God. So that you receive the longing of your heart. So that you can say with us, thanks be to God for his indescribable grace. Go in peace, my friends. Amen.